This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 218 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via his mobile phone, because Skype just does not want to play nice tonight, from Melbourne, hopefully excellent as always, Mr. Glyn Lavender. Are you excellent, mate?
Oh, can you hear me? Hello? Can I hold the tin can with a bit of string tight enough? Hello?
Pedal faster, mate. Pedal faster.
Oh, here we go. There we go. I'm only about 10% better next form this week.
Right, okay.
Just 10%. Yeah, but I'm trying to get better, of course, boys.
Of course. So what have you been up to in the last week?
Oh, it's been a crazy week of had a koala attached to me for the week.
Again? Right.
Well, yes. As in my two-year-old daughter with a... the dislocated little toe strapped to my side for many days.
Poor thing. Is her toe better now?
Well, it's still slightly dislocated, but that is as good as they can do. So she's still hobbling around, but she's back in childcare. So fortunately, I managed today in my very busy schedule to get both my morning and afternoon nap in, because school's gone back as well, so it's fantastic.
Wow, you went into your school holidays really early, because our schools have only just gone on holiday here in New South Wales.
Yeah, we're far more advanced than those people up there.
Is that what it is?
Well, I was watching a thing on Time on TV, and apparently we're on a different now slice than what you are.
Right, okay.
Our reality of now is different from your reality of now. Something like that. It made sense at the time, but you know, I slept since then.
Fair enough.
No, I've had a good week. A couple of workshops on Friday and Saturday, which were all good and fun and dandy, and some interesting people. And I launched a new casting call weekend. Went up on live last night, which is very exciting. So
for October.
Yeah, another weekend in October up in the old film set. So that's another thing to look forward to in the year, which is awesome.
Fantastic. Those Craftwright cases that you mentioned that Bunnings had, I went and grabbed one. I thought I'll just swing by my local Bunnings and see whether they've got them in stock. As it happened, they had the 46 centimetre, which I think is the medium size, and then they had that's about a 51 or a 52 centimeter, which is the larger one.
Yeah.
And so I picked up the 46 centimeter, the medium sized case, as you said, for $40, which was around about half the price of the competing brand, which was sitting on the shelf right beside it. I'm absolutely stoked with it. I don't know, you don't look at the show notes for this podcast, but if you go and have a look at ShuddersIncPodcast.com, you'll see I posted up a photo of my Craftwright case.
Oh, did you really?
with all of all my lighting gear in it, like all my flashes, my flashwave triggers, and all the various paraphernalia that goes along with off-camera flash, and it's all in the one case, and it's awesome.
That's great value, isn't it? Great value.
It's really good.
The technical term is, it's a rip snorter.
Yes, definitely the technical term, for sure.
I'm full of technical terms, as you know. It's a specialty.
Now, of course, this week we are trialling out slightly more up-and-running idea of doing live Q&A via Facebook while we record.
We're also doing questions and answers, too. Doing both.
That, too.
Well, I think we might have put that wrong. We're getting questions, but we don't know if we've got the answers. So we're definitely doing the Q part.
Mark Chapman said, your microphone makes a great podcast. Where can I get me one of them? I think he's being facetious.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah, but, that's a quality answer question in itself.
That's got nothing to do with photography, Mark.
I guess it just goes to show the quality of our listeners. Yeah, you put up crap like this every week, you're going to get that sort of response, aren't you? Fun guys.
I saw something really funny on Facebook, I think it was yesterday. There's a page called Light Stalking. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular page.
No.
Whoever the moderator is of the Light Stalking page put up, it's a pride of lions, a flock of geese, and a blank of photographers.
That's probably actually a blank of photographers is probably about the best description.
Well, I'll read out some of the ones that people put up because I thought there were some great ones there. There was a gaggle, a scrum, a chimp, which I thought was really good, a chimp of photographers, a flash, a club, a spectrum. Spectrum was good. Yeah, it was in the light spectrum. A pixel.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. I like this one.
Hello.
A lack of photographers.
That's probably the best. That's classic.
Then there was a shutter, an army, another one that I really got a chuckle out of, an asylum of photographers, an art mess, a burst, a snap. A snap, a crop, a focus of photographers, a flash mob, a frame, a roll, a fixer, a swarm, a JPEG, an annoyance of photographers, a megapixel, an exposure of photographers, and then an overexposure. And the one which I really liked out of the whole lot was bunch of iPhone users who think they are in the same league.
Oh dear.
It was a good collection of responses. It gave me a good laugh for a few minutes.
Absolutely. We started to take ourselves way too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not enough of that stuff around, I'm gonna lie.
No, definitely not. You were going to ask me what I'd been up to.
What did you do? Anything exciting?
No, I'm sort of in the last planning.
Talking about me then.
The last minute planning for the Trundle weekend away, which is this weekend coming.
Oh my goodness, that's
So around
about has long term weather forecast looking.
Oh, out there it's always dry.
Good. Yes. So, dry proceeding into dust. Yes.
That's it, yeah. So around about the time that this podcast goes live, we should be just about packing up and hitting the road to head back to Sydney. So looking forward to it. It's going to be good. I wanted to ask you, we meant to talk about this last week and we skipped over it. Your mosaic photo
book.
We're just
so far to talk about other crap. My mosaic book arrived last week exactly, and I got to tell you, I'm in love.
Really? Really good quality?
I'm in love. The quality's no better or worse than any other photo books you kind of get around, from your blurbs and so on. So it's a nice quality book. But, the packaging's fantastic, the layout, the design, the feel, I'm in love.
Mention
that. It's beautiful. It's just an awesome, awesome, everything about it's awesome. From the experience of making it, which is, once again, technical term, piss easy.
Yep.
All the way through to the delivery, and then you first open your first one and look at just how beautifully it's put together packaging-wise. Fantastic. For $20, bargain.
Yeah, nice.
There's one thing they're going to do, though, is fix the international postage.
Oh, that was the expensive part.
It's an awesome... Yeah, well, it's more than the book.
Yeah, right.
And I don't need it in a week.
Yep.
I don't need the correct post to me in a week, You give me that half price, you give me $10 postage, I'm doing one of those every 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Maybe they need to offer a surface mail option where it'll take 3 months to get to you. But...
I'm going to get in touch with them and say exactly that, because I'd be all over it like a rash if they did.
You say the layout, but didn't you have control of the layout?
All you do is select 20 photos by pressing your finger on them, and they lay them out in that order. But, I mean, that's it. It's just everything from the way the little mosaic's done on the front page, it's one photo a page, they're all... It's just awesome. Yeah, because it achieves the purpose that I want a photo book to achieve.
Yeah, right.
And that is not some momentous. I don't want some momentous thing that I've got to put together over the course of a year. My child's first year of life and all the stress it puts on me to put together. I want I went to the park with my kid and flew a kite for 2 hours. We had a ball. I took a bunch of photos of having a laugh.
Yep.
And I've got that memory in the book forever.
Cool. Now,
that's what I want out of a photo book.
Yeah.
As a dad of young kids, that's exactly what I want. I mean, today after school, I took my eldest, my 5 3/4-year-old, for a milkshake. And we just took some photos, had a laugh, she was being stupid, and she had this little faraway look in her eyes as she was getting tired towards the end of the day. Just some beautiful memories. What am I going to do with those photos on my phone? Probably nothing.
Yep.
But I might have put them up in
the
book.
And you'd probably forget to transfer them to the next phone when you upgrade your phone.
Exactly. So that'll just be more than just trash. But there's a couple of beautiful shots of her. You know, I'm biased. She's gorgeous. You know,
yeah.
That's half of the missus. I want to do something with these photos, and it has to be, when I think of it, be able to do it in like 2 or 3 minutes flat and be out of my head and gone. And that's what this does. I've got a book. It takes me 2 or 3 minutes at worst to make.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm a happy camper. So I'm very much in love with Mosaic.
Wow.
Very much.
Cool.
And if anyone from Mosaic's listening, you know, a lifetime of free vouchers would be lovely. It is a brand new service. I don't know who does the printing, what anything about them, other than a friend recommended to me in Vegas at one time. And for once, something that happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas. And I brought it out, and here it is.
Awesome.
But I think that's it. If we can do something about international postage, now I'm sure if you live in America, it's probably only a $4 or $5 postage or $6 postage, and for under $30, you've got an awesome little memento of a weekend or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Wow.
And the size is great. It's only 6 inches by 6 inches kind of thing, but that's a real 6 inches, not a man's 6 inches.
Yeah.
And this is a nice compact size with beautiful packaging. I'll take a photo of the packaging so we can put it up in the show notes to show you why it enamored me so much.
Cool. Yeah, do that. Send me the images
it's easy.
So is it a case of there are no options with regards page count and layout? It's just you get 20 pages,
no,
20 images.
20 photos.
Yep. Yeah, right. Which obviously helps them to keep the manufacturing costs down because they're not having to...
Well, they know exactly what their costs are, I guess, don't they?
Yeah. They're not having to cater to different, page counts and all that sort of stuff. Every project is essentially
print run,
the same.
Paper sizes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How many variations of album covers they've got to keep, stuff that increases costs.
Yep.
It's just damn pat. They've only got one type of patching. They know where the postage rate's going to be for everything. But it's a clever little business model.
Fantastic. All right, we've got some more questions coming in through Facebook. Carl Hemmings, hi, Bruce Williams and Glyn. Just wondering what photo bag you decided on for your Asian trip. Cheers, Carl Hemmings. Carl, I'm probably going to take the... year and a half ago, I guess, I picked up an F-stop bag. And for those who are not familiar with the F-stop bag system, they're like a really nice, comfortable backpack, but they have what is called an ICU, an internal camera unit, and it is a separate bag, not much bigger than your sort of like your toiletries bag that you take when you go away on holidays. It's designed to be just big enough, this is the internal camera unit, just big enough to hold a DSLR with a 70-200 2.8 on it, running up the length of the internal camera unit with a couple of extra pockets. The idea of this design is so that if you get to check in for your flight, and even though the whole backpack is meant to be cabin friendly, every now and again you get a grumpy airline employee who says, "Nah, that's too big, it can't go in the cabin, it's got to go under the plane." Naturally, as photographers, we don't want our camera gear going under the plane. You can unzip the backpack, pull the ICU out, it has its own little carry handle. You can then zip up the backpack and say, "There you go, take the backpack and I'll carry the ICU as hand luggage," because it's only about, 20, 30 centimetres square. And you can take that on as hand luggage and definitely be within your limits. So what I'm thinking is that I may take the whole F-stop bag, yeah, backpack and ICU, or depending on what other luggage I want to take, I might just take my camera gear in the internal camera unit only, because I will have just another regular backpack that I'll be using for day treks, and I can stick the ICU into my regular backpack. So I haven't completely decided yet, but it'll be something along those lines. And we got a question from Adam Davidson. When's the Shutters Inc. Christmas party? That is a good question.
I took the opportunity to jam with that online because, you know, it was nice and easy, you know. You know, when's the Christmas party? Probably near Christmas. it's not even like Christmas in July yet, you know. Oh, that Adam Davidson, what a wit.
Which
are, there's usually four other letters that start in front of that wit, but
We definitely should organise local Christmas parties for Melbourne and Sydney again.
You know I don't socialise.
Oh, don't you? Okay.
No, I don't socialise. I'm not a social person. my reluctant, reticent nature. It's the quiet, shy side of me that just refuses to partake in anything. Yeah. Right. I love Christmas. Yeah, the pudding especially with a bit of brandy custard, but...
Now you're talking.
Now we're talking. You're going to light the sucker. You're going to get that thing on fire before you eat it. Cause, yeah, nothing says Christmas like getting someone's hair on fire. Or is it just my family? I don't know.
I saw an interesting article.
Lightroom 5. Let's talk something photography first. So Lightroom 5.
Well, I was going to talk about something photography, but yes, let's talk about Lightroom 5.
I thought we were talking about Christmas parties. Lightroom 5.
Yeah. I saw a mention of it yesterday, but when I went to click on the link, it had already been pulled. It was like somebody had jumped the PR gun.
Oh, that's not so good.
Is it back up on Adobe Labs?
I'm just pulling up Adobe Labs now. Yep, it's up there at the moment, which is good. Yeah, and there's an awesome, awesome thing in there I just love that is piquing my interest already.
Right.
And that's the ability to edit files that are offline.
I saw someone make mention of that, yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So you can have all your files off on a hard drive somewhere. Just have your base catalogue, just your thumb, little tiny thumbnails, and edit them away. And when you eventually link up, it does all the editing to the actual files.
So obviously what it does is at the time, and I'm just assuming this because I haven't downloaded the beta yet because it only went up in the last 24 hours, but I'm assuming that what happens is when you import your photos into Lightroom, Lightroom does ask you what quality of preview you want it to generate for every image. And so obviously in version 5 of Lightroom, the way that's going to work is it will use that preview file, which is obviously just going to be a very highly compressed JPEG rendering of your image, and allow you to do your tweaks, you know, whether it be cropping or alignment or dust removal or color adjustments or exposure adjustments or whatever. And then as Glenn said, you know, when the file becomes accessible again, it will then allow you to apply those adjustments that you created just using the preview for reference to the actual file, which is, as you say, a fantastic innovation.
Incredibly good. Incredibly handy. So, I mean, just you said, not have to carry on, to bog your system down with a plethora of files and just be able to edit anywhere on the go, keep your system running as fast as possible because it's got the least stuff on it.
Yep.
If you're getting on a laptop as you're traveling, I think it just sounds ideal.
I'm just having a look at the new features. There is allegedly an advanced healing brush, which will do odd-shaped objects like, you know, threads or bits of lint that have, you know, snuck into your camera body and have positioned themselves between your lens and your sensor with a single brush stroke in Lightroom. That's pretty awesome.
That's right, because the existing one was horrendous, so...
it wasn't the best.
It was.
It did the job.
Any cloning I wanted to do was all that for Photoshop. I'd never do it in Lightroom.
Yeah. An upright tool, which will straighten tilted images with a single click. My God, the whole world needs that tool. Nothing drives me more insane than seeing off-kilter horizons. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's like a steering wheel in your underpants, isn't it?
What was that?
It's like a steering wheel in your underpants. Driving you nuts.
Nice.
Yeah, it's about the guy with the psychiatrist wearing nothing but cling film. The psychiatrist says, "Oh, I can clearly see your nuts." That's enough about those sort of jokes for one podcast. Thank you, Bruce. Grateful man.
There is a radial gradient tool. So that's something that...
By the way, just jump straight through. That's fantastic. Yeah. Right back to listen to the topic at hand. Oh, I love a good straight man. Off-centre and multiple vignettes. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
As long as there's multiple white vignettes, because I love a good white vignette, and I want to put more than white in my brain.
You can have two of them, so it looks like you're looking through binoculars. video slideshow sharing. Easily share your work.
You've got to love that.
Elegant video slideshows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's just bringing everything into this one box, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and improved photo book creation. Wow. Well, I shall be downloading that to have a look at. So, yeah, that only went up in the last 24 hours or so.
Exactly. So, by the time this comes out in a week, we'll only be 8 or 9 days behind. Everyone's got it downloaded. We have no idea what we're talking about.
There'll be some people who will have missed the fact that it popped up.
There could be at least two.
Yeah. Exactly. If you were one of those two people who didn't notice that the beta of Lightroom 5 was available, then you can head over to labs.adobe.com, or you can just click on the link, which will be in the show notes at shuttersincpodcast.com. So that looks interesting. Looking forward to...
I'm downloading it as we speak.
Oh, well, don't do it while we're recording. Oh, you can do it while we're recording because you're not using your Skype. So,
yeah
fair enough.
We're on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm like 75% female, so I can multitask.
So, what other photography-related discussion did you have lined up for this week?
Well, I'm absolutely enamoured with the concept that Nikon looks like they're trying to patent at the moment as passwords for lenses.
Passwords.
It's for lenses. So when you put a lens onto a camera, the lens won't work until you enter a password.
Oh, so this is like an anti-theft mechanism?
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, so finally using all this digital technology, computer technology in both lenses and bodies to foil stolen gear, basically. I think it's a great idea. Why someone didn't think of it, 6 months ago, I've got no idea.
Well, it's probably one of those things that someone did think of it probably 20 years ago, but they've had to wait for the technology to catch up.
Exactly.
To allow the implementation. And I mean, when you think about it, the DSLR bodies that we've got now are becoming very much, miniature computers that have the capability of taking great photographs. When you think of
the one thing I hate, about modern cameras being computers.
What's that?
Whilst it's a computer, they're so damn limited. On that casting call weekend the other day, you can't tell people to dial up 60 seconds on their computer because they only get on their camera because they only get to 30 seconds or bulb.
Yes, that seems like a hangover from the analog days, if ever there was one.
Exactly. Something as simple as be able to dial up 1 hour exposure in camera. How hard can it be? It's well a dial, for goodness sake.
That is a great point. I'd not considered that, but yes, it shouldn't be too hard to implement at all. And it should go in one-stop increments, like from 30 seconds to 1 minute to 2 minutes to 4 minutes to 8 minutes to 16 minutes.
Exactly, with third stop increments in between.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly, but it's a bleeding computer. They don't stop at 30 seconds.
No.
Yeah, it takes me much longer to download illegal things than that on my computer. What? Oh, that landed. You can scrub that, Bruce. But it's a computer. It should be able to dial up whatever you want to do. You want to do maybe time-lapse photography? It's a computer. It should be able to be done inside the camera.
I guess the only issue there, but again, this wouldn't be hard to design around, is if you were trying to dial up a 1 hour exposure, but you were currently down to 3% battery. But again, there's so much communication between the camera body and the battery itself that the camera should be able to just flash up a warning and say, I can't do that, Dave.
You're an idiot. You need change battery.
I can't open the pod doors, Dave. What was that?
That frustrates them, didn't daylight out. Me, sorry, mate.
I was quoting Hal from 2001. I can't open the pod doors, Dave.
So Mr. Nick on and Mr. Cannon, we know you're listening because we're a very famous podcast. So please next, the Canon 14D or whatever. Yeah, it'll take that long to get implemented. The Canon 14D and the Nikon 8953.4. Let's have those features into them, please.
And of course, that will be a fantastic opportunity for said manufacturers to just price gouge the consumer a little bit more.
Exactly. And mind you, they're doing it at the moment by making you buy their accessories to do these things. we'll be missing out a slight sales opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, but back in the day when I was a young lad, we used to have to sell multifunction backs for our film SLRs.
Right.
And those multifunction backs could do all this stuff.
But they didn't protect your lenses from theft, though, did they?
They didn't protect your lenses from theft, which is, of course, where we started this long 14-minute rant. So kudos to Nikon for coming up with the concept. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But can you imagine? I just visualised this scene where, sometimes it's not always appropriate. That, you're in the midst of, some amazingly frenetic scene and you exchange lenses. And it's all happening around you. You can't remember your password. It's like, what was the number? Oh, incorrect password. Oh, it was this one. No, incorrect password. and then the shoot's over, everyone's gone, you're still standing in the middle of the arena or whatever it is, going, incorrect password. maybe you want to have some sort of, I don't know, maybe it's got to be around that. Maybe it unlocks for a certain period of time.
Do you know what?
Just
taking this one step further, and again, this won't be far off. Rather than having to enter a password, there will simply be a biometric scanner built into the barrel of the lens so that as your fingers touch it, it says, yep, that's your DNA.
And anyone in your family or anyone you know who you'd normally loan your gear to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you should be able to...
Program in like 10 people's handprints or something on top.
Yep.
That makes sense, doesn't it? So as you're picking it out of the case, it's kind of, I know you.
Well, you've got to think, there are already cars coming out that have, this as an access mechanism, so you don't have a key or a... you just walk up...
I'm going to take it a step further.
Yeah.
How about forget the lenses altogether and just have a case... That's got like a little camera looking at you, and if it's you reaching into your bag and let's see you do stuff, it opens for you. And if it's not you reaching in, it doesn't open.
Yeah.
we could take this as far as we want to, really.
But I don't think the idea of a biometric, reader on the barrel of the lens, I don't think that's too great a stretch of the imagination, given where we're currently at.
If you can do it on a laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's going to be, you're going to be running along, someone's going to steal your bag, they'll whip off your hand as well at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some downsides. Yeah. There's a couple of downsides.
I just need to cut off your little finger while I steal your camera.
and can I have your kidney whilst I'm at it? Because that goes for a good price in the black market too.
And you could do the same thing with a camera body. You could build iris recognition into the viewfinder.
Exactly.
So that if it doesn't recognise your iris, then it goes, you're not the legal owner of this camera body.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
Man, here we are just revolutionising the industry, Glenn.
Yeah, we should be getting paid big bucks.
We're worth way more money.
I tell you what, let's patent the idea right now. before someone who's listening to the podcast does it. and in 47 years when it actually comes out, we say, no, we were first.
We can say we have prior art, yes.
That's right. And if that bag with the eye in the bag and the bag with the claws is chopped your own hand off, that's my idea on keeping that one. But, you know, all that stuff sounds a bit silly, but I think we're on. I can see that happening down the track.
Oh, definitely.
I can see that sort of technology absolutely being just taken for granted in a few years' time.
Yep.
Yeah. So, not be able to turn on your iPad or, you know, tablet-style device without that sort of control. Yep. Aren't some of the Samsung phones now iris recognition or face recognition?
They'll turn themselves on when they're there. There are some.
Yeah, I'm that's ring a bell. Yeah, so it's we're within the realm of. You could go even a step further. I know some of them have these hand gesture recognition.
Yes.
Yeah, it could become a bit like the Freemasons, where you've got your secret handshake. You do that little special handshake with your camera, your handshake with your computer. Yeah, you walk up, you put one leg up in the air, step backwards 3 steps, and you put one finger in the ear whilst you tickle the back of the screen or something. I don't know. Yeah, your own special. You know, it may look a little daft, but you know it's going to be hard to reproduce. You can't top that off.
And that won't look at all awkward when you're about to photograph the inauguration of the president.
Excuse me, Your Majesty. Well, the Queen from England. She's a Python fan, I'm sure, so she wouldn't mind a bit of silly walking. Just brain dancing and handshaking with the camera. She'd be up for that, surely.
Now, we've got another a question from Richard Ingram, which I accidentally overlooked. It was, how do you quote for commercial work?
I put the fee that I want to get paid at the bottom of the quote.
Okay, so to play devil's advocate, do you have a method by which you come up with said figure?
Well, the only way you can, if you're working for someone, there's only one thing you can do, is look at how much money you need per year. Mm-hmm. Look at all your costs over the course of the year. Divide that into how many jobs you think you can do during the year, and that's the price.
Yep.
You've got to know what you need. You've got to know how much do I need per year. I need how much to replace gear. I need for insurance, for superannuation, for mortgage payments. Everything. What do I need to be a successful photographer?
Yep.
And then divide it. Okay, divide it by 12, that's what I need per month. Okay. I've got opportunities to quote for 4 jobs this month. Divide that by 4. There's your price, if you can get them, yeah? You've got to know what it costs you to live, because everyone's different.
Plus, of course, you know, into that, you also need to know whether or not you are going to incur any costs in the course of doing the job that you're quoting for.
Absolutely.
And then making sure that you are covering, you know, yourself for those costs. When I did those few tourism-related projects a couple of years ago, that was the way I approached it. It was like, okay, I'm going to be away for X number of days. I'm going to use this much petrol based on the number of miles that I'm going to do. My accommodation was covered. My meals were covered. But, you know, you basically have to sit down and go, okay, how far do I have to travel? What's it going to cost me to do that travel? Are there things that I'm going to have to pay to get into in order to, you know, complete the shooting of this particular task? If so, what are the costs involved there? You know, obviously all of those kinds of things have to be rolled in on top of, as Glenn said, you know, your costs of doing business, you know, replacement of gear and paying of taxes and all that sort of stuff.
And Richard does stress commercial work. Mm-hmm. So you've got to all sometimes factor that into account. Well, how long are you going to let them have access to the images? Depends who you're working for. So, yeah, okay, is it a 1-year license, a 3-year license? Yeah, factor some of the cost base into that. So when do you get access back to having that image to use for maybe other purposes, if it's something that can be reused down the track?
Yep.
Yeah, you've got to take that sort of. It's a broad question, so there's lots of different answers, but there's lots of different ways of of catering for that sort of, you know, sort of question. But you really, at the end of the day, as a small business person, which is what most photographers are, you just need to know. You can't measure what you don't know. You can't quote what you don't know. You don't know what it's going to cost you to live. If you don't know what it costs you to live, you're going to get out of business.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because you'll underquote, or you'll have no basis about, you know, what your time and what you need to be earning to be successful.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think every photographer needs a business plan, and as part of that business plan should analyse exactly what it costs for them to live.
Yep.
Yeah, no fluffing around the edges, I'm only doing it part-time because I do other work, and that helps pay for everything else as well. No, it can't work that way. If you're going to do this as a job, what's it actually cost?
Yep.
And quote accordingly. Don't try and win every customer, because you can't.
No. And I think, you know, along with that, you also have to take a very, and this can be difficult to do, but a real hardline approach of knowing when to walk away from a job.
Yes.
Of just going, either A, this client just seems like they're going to be way more trouble than they should be, or, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you don't feel comfortable with whatever the project is, you know, you have to be able to say, this doesn't fit either my work ethic or where I want my business to be positioned. And that's not an easy thing to do if, you know, you've got to put food on the table.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's part of my job, you know, training photographers, is a lot of my photographers that I train are mums with cameras, the mumpreneurs, which who I love. I think they're an awesome segment of our industry. But I can't tell you how many of those I see getting into divorces, having marriage split ups, having relationship disasters.
Yep.
Because of photography, because of not only their passion, but also the fact that they work incredibly hard and don't bring in enough money to the family to justify the time.
That's the key, though. It's not the photography, it's the finance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's long established, you know, that, you know, probably the number one cause of breakup of relationships comes down to finances.
And in the photography business, where you might be earning, let's go out and the ballpark, massively ridiculous figure, and say you're earning $1,000 for a day's work, which I guarantee there's not a lot of them charging that much, but you're actually spending 2 or 3 weeks at least editing that kind of photos.
Yep.
And in reality, every night your husband's not seeing you, your kids are hardly seeing you, you're not necessarily thinking about the family all the time, so there's a certain amount of resentment will build up from lack of attention. Even $1,000 is a reasonable sum, so it'd be nice if everyone earned that per day, but it's that lack of attention that taking you away from the family unit. You've got to balance all that stuff out, and you say, if I do this job, what does it take away from me? What does it take away from my family? What does it take away? What does it pay back?
Yep.
Yeah, and say, is it worth it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it worth doing 4 family photo shoots this Saturday afternoon, for $49 and 59 images edited on this or whatever, you know? Is it worth it to your mental health and family health? Probably a deeper response than what Richard was asking.
Well, he's actually put up a couple of more questions.
Yeah, I know. It's bloody annoying, isn't he?
Wedding shoots. Is it better?
No, I love him.
Is it better to package on hours or coverage, e.g. 3 hours of shooting, or do you quote ceremony and location?
Yeah, I hate the whole concept of hours, personally, for a wedding.
Yes, because...
Personally, this is a personal opinion. But, personally, I hate the concept. What do you think?
I agree. Whether or not we hate it for the same reason, we'll soon find out. The reason I don't like that idea is because the bridal couple only see the hours that you put in on that day.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, you're earning that much for 3 hours' work.
So when you quote on an hourly thing, they just go, we're only going to have you for the 10 hours on the wedding day. But they don't see, you know, all the planning that went on before the wedding day, and then all the post-processing time you know, and the importing time and the tagging of keyword data, metadata and all that stuff, and then the preparation of the album and the, you know, uploading, you know, the bandwidth that you soaked up, sending off the album to be printed by, you know, the photo book printer wherever they were on the planet, you know, all of those things. You know, the bride and groom don't see that if you quote an hourly rate.
Exactly right.
Was that your reason for
hating? Well, it's that. In fact, yours sounds so much better than mine because, you know, you're a much smarter man than me. That's all the best possible advice. But you know what? This is an incredibly emotional, sensitive, wonderful, great, fantastic day for these people. They're only going to do this two or three times in their life, you know?
You're such an optimist.
And you're breaking down, I'll be there for 3 hours. What happens to 3 hours and 1 minute? Do you say, right, that's it? Make it a bit more amorphous. Maybe, okay, look, I'll be there for the whole getting ready part of the morning for you. Don't worry, I'll be there. Nothing to worry about, don't panic. I'll be there to make sure that everything's covered. I'll be there for your service, and we'll make sure we get some great shots afterwards. That'll take however long it takes. Knowing that there's always a cut-off time limit, which is when the reception starts.
Yep.
You know? Now, you can choose whether you get to the bride an hour before you leave for the church or two. That's up to you.
Yep.
But you don't cut down to, I'll be there for 4.793 hours. Yeah, and that's it. You know? That's clinical, unemotional selling.
Yeah.
And you want to be emotionally and emotively involved with these people because you'll get better out of them with photos. If you connect and they feel like you're supporting and helping them with the day, that you're there for them,
yep.
Not there on a time limit,
yep.
Where everything's rushed and panicked, you'll get a lot more out of them.
Yeah.
And it'll come through in the photos.
Yep.
So you quote, but what you do is you charge separately for the reception. That's a given. Now, your job is up to the fake cutting of the cake and the fake champagne, you know, toasting the glasses. That's your job as a wedding photographer. The photos of the people drunk afterwards is another matter altogether. Yeah, and that's a separate charge.
Fair enough.
But yeah, but get emotional with people. Get connected with their day. You know, you'll win more jobs if you approach it as in, I'm there to make your day work better, rather than, well, do you want me for 3 hours or 5 hours?
Yeah.
5 hours, 10 hours. You know, that's just clinical and horrible to my mind. Once again, I'm a very opinionated person, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, an emotive day, and when it comes to selling to them, you want to connect to that emotion,
yep.
Not to an hourly wage.
Yep, that's a good call.
So, and add to that all your fantastic points that you mentioned, especially they don't see the 30 hours you put in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
As soon as you quote an hour figure, that's all they think they're paying you for. What, you want $3,000? You're there for 3 hours, $1,000 an hour. That's why Uncle Larry says, oh, I've got a camera, I'll become a photographer too. Those sort of dollars. You know, that's how it happens.
Yeah, except because Uncle Larry is family, they don't pay him $3,000.
Of course not, because he's just starting out. He gets like $12 an hour.
Yeah.
Good minimum wage.
Yeah, we'll give you $10 an hour, and we'll give you a feed at the reception.
Yeah, and I have had a slab too, Uncle Larry. Yeah, a slab of beer. Yeah, fantastic. But to me, you know, if you want to win clients, talk emotionally.
Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, I think your success rate will be far greater. Hopefully, that helps you get some idea, Richard.
Yeah. Yep. Seeing as how you've mentioned emotion, I would suggest, Richard, if you haven't already, check out what Lorna and Lee Andrikopoulos were doing with, what do they call it? The Emotional Sale? Was that the name of their product?
Yeah, The Emotional Sale, yeah.
Because that was exactly where they were coming from with that, and you can check all of that information out at Instinctive Desires. Now, Richard Ingram had one more question, and we'll give him this one, but you're hogging the podcast.
Should we just rename it? Let's not call it Shutterthink anymore. Shall we just call it the Ingram Hour?
You're fine, Richard. You're fine, mate. It's great that we're getting some interaction. Business
asking
names.
Asking questions?
Business names. An ongoing issue with me. Trade under your own name, or is it really better to brand it with an actual name or identity for the business? Well, I'll start off on this one with...
Because you know I've got an opinion.
Yeah, of course you do.
Funny enough, by chance, I've got an opinion.
With something that Lorna said, and that was absolutely do not trade under your own name, simply because if you get to a point where you no longer want to continue working that business and you want to be able to sell the business on with some goodwill, it's no good to anybody else if it's got Richard Ingram plastered all over it.
To that, I'll add one tidbit
yep.
extra. Horse hockey.
Oh, okay.
What a crock.
Okay.
You should. I think the only name you should be trading under is yours. The only name. Because quite frankly, the 99.9% of photographers who decide they don't do this anymore have got no business to sell.
Right.
So who's going to buy it? No business.
So you just wrap it up, take your ball home and... call it quits.
But you think about it. Yeah. Oh, who shot your wedding? Oh, Richard Ingram did. He's fantastic. I was just looking up in the net. You know, Richard Ingram, photographer. What's going to come up?
Yeah.
You know, make it easy for people to find you. If you've got a middle name, make it Richard David Ingram, photographer. Whatever. Put your middle name in there as well. Because that way people, when they search you, you're going to come up.
Yep.
You're going to get the job. People refer by name. Not by, unless you're a brand that's incredibly recognised. Yeah, Michael Warshall, yeah, one of the richest photographers in Australia.
Yeah.
You know? What's his name under? Yeah, Jerry Johannes, yeah, Vance. What names do they use? Their names.
Yep, good point.
It's them that people book. People book the person that don't book the company.
Fair enough.
So, Lee and Lorna, love you long time, but personally, in my extremely opinionated way, you guys, yeah. But, now, I can't talk to my company's name. It's Creative Photo Workshops.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a very descriptive name about the creative and the photo workshop, you know. Something, you know, people Google, I want to do a photo workshop.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come up, you know.
Yep.
Think about how will people find you. Well, if you're a photographer, it's usually by your name. People get... Richard was fantastic, you know, even if he wasn't. Richard's fantastic, you've got to use him. Bang, you know, you've always got your name, they'll always be able to. So personally, I would always recommend, yeah, because the other thing is, yeah, most people's business names sound lame.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just like, really? You chose that name, you know? you know, I want to say, I don't know if I should say this or not. Oh, yes. I saw a guy who's starting out photography recently, like 2 weeks ago, and so he started his business name up. I'm going to change the name, just because this is going to come back and haunt me, I know.
Okay.
Let's say his business name is Now I'm Serious Photography.
Right.
Now I'm Serious. As in, before you worked.
Right.
Now you are, and, you know, okay, are you a serious person? Are you happy? You know, Now I'm Serious. It's a strange, strange name to have chosen. And you know what? People pick names. And there's a wonderful person I know, I won't mention her name's Amanda Fraser. Look, she's got a business name for her photography, and it's using the bits of all of her children's name.
Oh.
Awesome. But it means something to her.
Yeah.
But to anyone else, I don't even know how to say her business name, to be honest. I've known her for a while, I should have asked. I don't even know how it's actually pronounced.
Right.
Because it's a... So be very careful. I mean, things that mean something to you from the outside, from a non-clinical perspective, maybe it doesn't mean anything to anybody and they get confused.
Yeah.
Make it simple for people to book you. Joe Blogs Photography. I shoot, blah, 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 blah. Call me.
Hmm.
You know, make it easy for people to connect to you. To find. People want to deal with people. Yeah, no matter for the frustrations of calling up, you know, the answering machine, you know, calling up the hotliners. Yes, you're third in line. Is your call about? Yeah. I won't say what popped into my mind. Fortunately, sometimes I have filters in my head.
But obviously, there are instances where a brand name, which meant absolutely nothing, became, you know, almost a verb, like Google.
Absolutely. Hoover. Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I'll have a Coke.
Xerox. Yeah.
Absolutely. that's six companies. What about the rest?
Okay, fair enough.
So Whistle. I'll bring one to you. Whistle.
Who?
Mean anything to you?
No.
No, they're a cola company that started the year before Coca-Cola.
Right.
Whistle.
Yeah.
It was very popular. Everyone was drinking it because there wasn't cola drinks before in those days. Whistle. Awesome. Where'd they go? What happened to them? Where'd they gone? You know, there are examples like Hoover and Coke and all that sort of stuff, but there's a billion examples of ones that haven't worked.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, the reality is for most photographers, we're small business people. Small businesses don't get that kind of recognition.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we are small. And, you know, that's kind of good. Most of us don't want to be anything but small business people. We don't want to take over the world. We want to have a job doing the thing that we're passionate about and earn enough money to have the lifestyle that we want. That's not necessarily 49-foot yachts and 27-room mansions.
Speak for yourself.
Well, we want. Well, yeah, I don't like yachts. You know what I mean? The majority. Everyone can pull out an isolated incident, the instance of someone who's made it with a strange name, but in the reality, the majority aren't that.
Right.
And whenever you're talking English, which is what we are, and this is just my opinions, but just try and make it easy for people to connect with you, yeah? And you're giving yourself a fighting chance. There's nothing worse than, advertisers advertising their business and they have to spell out their company name at the end of the advert so you don't have to look them up. Yeah, it's just a chair company down here called Ross Newton, R-O-T-H Newton, goes their little ditty at the end.
Right.
So people know that Ross, not Rock, or the rocking chair. So I thought it was Rock for years. Yeah, that's the guy's name, unfortunately. That doesn't really help. So if you've got one of those kind of names, maybe get rid of it. But yeah, you know what I mean. We can only talk in generals.
Yep.
And hopefully that's given a few little tidbits. Anyway.
Excellent.
I've got one last quick thing I've got to talk.
Sure.
This week the Pulitzer Prize for photos came out.
Oh, really?
And one of the main winners was a war photograph from Syria. But on DP Review website, there's been all these people bleating about, oh, not another war photo, oh, war, on and on and on and on. And, I kind of, in some ways, I can understand their point. But I've just read someone's comments that I thought was just so fantastic, I had to bring it up. It's by a guy called Mark Finn, who basically went on about, the world is full of not very pleasant stories, and the amazing things that photographers do is go and capture some of those stories. But if all you want to do is complain about seeing yet another war photograph, how about we start up the DP Review Pulitzer Prizes? And we could have categories like best overprocessed HDR, best cat photo, best moody black and white cliche photo, best flower cliche, and best street shot of someone wandering aimlessly through the frame. Fantastic, yeah. So I'm just wondering what sort of. Let's throw it out to the listeners for the week. Let's come up with some witty categories for bad Pulitzer Prize photos. There's a challenge, Richard Ingram. Get off your 57 questions you've asked and come up with a a suggestion for the worst category of photographs.
You know, I can understand, like you, I can understand people going, oh, God, does it have to be another war photograph? But what makes those images end up being selected is because, well, I would presume that one of the key things is it's a very small percentage of photographers who are prepared to put themselves in that position to go and get that kind of image. I mean, I went and looked. After we'd recorded last week, I went and looked at the Syria in... What was it? Syria in...
Yes,
something.
Syria in ruins.
In ruins. There were some very confronting images in that series.
Amazing, wasn't it? Yeah.
And, you'd like to think that you would have the balls to go and shoot that stuff, but really, I don't know if I would, like if it really came down to, you know, brass tacks, I don't know that I could walk out into a street where some crazy could take me out with a rifle shot from half a kilometre away. I wouldn't even know the guy was there until I was dead.
And then you probably wouldn't know anyway.
No. It would take a hell of a mindset to be prepared to go into that kind of environment with your camera and try and document
just
it.
Just to take photos.
Yeah.
Just to take photos, effectively, you know. It's, it's incredible. So, whilst I get, and I guess part of their reason for complaint is there are some incredible documentary photos taken around the world in non-combat zones.
Yep.
Which are incredible documentary-type shots, which show all manner of life and death and struggle, which... But there's something captivating about war, I think, that the human nature just gets compelled to look at.
Yeah.
So I think that is that risk factor that maybe going to somewhere with famine or somewhere where there's been a natural disaster isn't always quite so evocative, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I've never sat and analysed why war photographs win so much, but having known a few war photographers in my time, they are a breed of people. You know, they feel different. They have a very lackadaisical attitude towards things, you know. And certainly far braver than, well, you can't call it braver, you're far braver than I am as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, one thing I wanted to finish on was an article that I saw on the Sydney Morning Herald website through the week in their digital life section. And it was all about there's this growing movement of couples banning social media from their wedding day, which I thought was really interesting. You know, they were saying, you know, this is meant to be a personal day, so we're asking our guests not to take photographs with their phones, or if they do so, at least not to upload them to Twitter and Facebook and the like, because low quality images are being displayed to the world before the professional photographer has had a chance to show what he was capable of, and also that brides and grooms were saying, you know, that they look out, you know, into the church from their position up at the front of the church, and all they see are people looking at their phones because they're tweeting, you know, rather than being in the moment. They're tweeting about the moment rather than living in it, you know, which I thought
I've got to say, I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see wedding couples stop their, it's all funny and stuff, but when the bride and groom stop during the actual service to change their Facebook status from single to married.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you think it's, at the time, it's a bit of a laugh, but, you know, something that's supposed to be one of the most incredible things, something you only do two or three times in your life, some of the most important days of your life, you know, you really want to stop and, I don't know, I definitely agree. Look, I'm addicted to online, don't get me wrong with that, that's what I do. I live on the phone, but totally agree, in these important occasions, there's a limit. So good on them for doing it.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I love the online world, but you know, when it comes to a wedding day, it does detract from the beauty of the day. So anyway,
that's good. Maybe some of the photographers should put into their clauses for their shooting: no social media whilst I'm shooting. I don't want people shooting the back of my camera and uploading photos.
Well, maybe it's something that, you know, people need to start putting on the invitation when they send the invitation out.
Yeah.
You know, we respectfully request that no photographs, no tweeting, no Facebooking, you know, until you have left the reception.
And Uncle Larry, make sure you wear your shoes this time.
Yeah, no thongs, Uncle Larry. All right, mate.
Good talking to you, my friend.
Likewise.
Hope you had a busy week, and we'll see what we're up to for next week.
Yeah, well, looking forward to getting back from Trundle and being able to show some of the images that we...
Oh, I'm going to have to hear your results, and that'll be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing some shots. So
yeah.
We'll share some of those on our Facebook page, I hope.
Definitely. All right, mate, well, you have a good week.
And one last thing for Mike Holman.
Yep.
Mike was with me last week at Casting Call. He says on Facebook, you better get your butt down to Casting Call 3. That's all he said. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot me.
Oh, to me?
As in I should.
Right. Okay.
You should, yeah.
I will get the dates from the website and I shall put it in my diary and I will make a point of getting down there.
Good on you, mate. Have a great week.
You too, Glenn. See you, mate.
Bye, Facebook listeners.
Bye.
Shutter Zinc, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shutterzincpodcast.com.